This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
We're back here on Sports Talk. Steve and Charlie hanging out with you till 8 o'clock tonight. Wanted to welcome in now Sam Bruckhouse, former Tulane linebacker and Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst and data scientist, joining us here on WWL. Roll wave, Sam. What's been going on, man?
Roll wave. I'm hoping that we can beat the numbers that are going on right now on the live Taylor Swift podcast. They got 1.2 million viewers right now. Hopefully we can do a little better down in New Orleans.
Amen to that. Looking at some of the stuff you guys do at Sumer Sports, I wanted to talk to you just because I feel like fantasy football, junkies will get so much out of what Sumer Sports has to offer from the analytics side when it comes to getting ready for your draft.
Yeah, 100%. We did a full deep dive all summer on what stats from last year actually mean something for this year. You can check out all those stats on sumersports.com. We also have an article out about some of the fantasy insights that we will discuss here also on sumersports.com.
Looking at some of the first-round picks for guys, a lot of people are worried about like a down year for someone like Saquon Barkley, especially with the Madden curse upon him. What are the analytics saying about Saquon going into this season with the Eagles?
So when you look at running backs, it's very difficult to see year-to-year correlation, particularly for these older players. We've really only seen it in players like Christian McCaffrey, even though he's hurt most of the time. And when you really break it down, year-to-year, you rushing yards, all the advanced analytics are very difficult to predict, especially as compared to wide receivers and quarterbacks and some of the other positions. I think that's why people are a little hesitant to draft someone like Saquon. But this is a very interesting year. You think of all of the good wide receivers we have in this league, starting at guys like Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, the LSU alums, and going to people like Puka Nacua, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think this is actually the year to target running backs in the first round, because you can probably get wide receiver one quality players in rounds two or three.
Spicy.
Yeah, Sam, I want to actually ask you right off the bat about Ja'Marr Chase, because I see a lot of drafts where he goes 101, and you understand why. He's coming off that triple crown this past year, the rare triple crown where you lead the league in receiving yards, receptions, touchdowns, and he had a phenomenal 2024 campaign. But just kind of projecting him for 2025, is he going to come close to that? Do you think he could potentially surpass that? Is he worth, that investment at 101?
So here's what the research shows. There's two incredibly what we call sticky stats year to year for wide receivers. That is target share and that is yards per route run. Ja'Marr Chase is one of the best players in the league at both of these. That indicates that he probably will continue to be in 2025. But here's the one thing that just kind of happens when you do the math over this year over year. When you have someone who has an incredibly excellent year, typically the next year they'll fall back down to earth. Because Ja'Marr Chase is such a good player, I still think he's a top-tier premium player and probably should be a good selection in the first round or with one of those top picks. But I'd really consider looking at a player like Jahmyr Gibbs or Bijan Robinson with that top pick, because I just don't think, because of that regression down from the top for Ja'Marr Chase as compared to last year, he's going to be radically different from some of these guys like Puka Nacua or some of those players like A.J. Brown, who have a similar statistical profile and just for whatever reason didn't perform all the way up to that level last year.
I guess this is almost a two-part question, because there's a couple different top receivers that are kind of saddled with poor quarterback situations. Like right off the bat, Malik Nabers is basically a top five wide receiver preseason projected in fantasy across the board. But I mean, Russell Wilson's probably going to be the week one starter, but how long is it going to take for the rookie and Jackson Dart to get in there? It's not the great quarterback situation that you'd be hoping for such a talent like Malik. But then also, we're talking about the Saints, and they could be holding a joint practice session with the Rams tomorrow. The Rams are having all these reports coming out of camp with Matt Stafford's back issue. You mentioned Puka Nacua, but also Devontae Adams on the Rams roster. Is that kind of concerning for anyone that's going to be targeting these top receivers about the quarterback situation that they're saddled with?
I think when you really look at a wide receiver's ability to earn targets, that is kind of substantially more on the wide receiver themselves. So at least as it is concerned with PPR formats, points per reception, where you get 1 point just if the wide receiver catches the ball, which as a Tulane Green Wave alum, as someone who's been on the field, I think is a little ridiculous. I'd like to see people get some yards, but that's kind of the standard format nowadays. I wouldn't really worry about Puka Nacua, Davante Adams, or Malik Nabers too much. All three of them were top 15 players in target share last year. That indicates to me that they will have a lot of receptions, and even if the yardage isn't there, or, you know, the quarterback isn't playing super well, that the offense coordinator and their ability to get open will ensure that they have receptions on a play-by-play basis. When you're looking at those three players in particular, I'd love to see the efficiency of Malik Nabers get up there. I think Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, two guys who love to push the ball down the field, especially as compared to Daniel Jones, who last year didn't even really have the ability to push the ball down the field. And that's even before they got into players like Tommy DeVito and Drew Lock. I think that's a slight upgrade, and it should be a good signal for Malik Nabers. I think he's one of those guys who I would recommend taking a running back in the first round, because there's a potential that you could get Malik Nabers or Brian Thomas Jr., who's another guy kind of in a similar role. Trevor Lawrence was hurt last year, who had excellent wide receiver one quality years last year, are slipping a little bit just because of the mechanics of fantasy, and you could probably grab them and get similar value to Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson this year in the later picks.
Sam, I'm curious, who are some of those candidates that, you know, you're seeing could be a bust for this season, that maybe, you know, those first or second round selections that are expected to have this huge output that may be in store for a down season?
What I really try to identify when it comes to that is players who either are very injury prone, players who are just hyped up because of something that occurred last year, or players, in particular running backs, that just have little to no impact on the receiving games. I think a guy potentially like Josh Jacobs could be a guy who's not necessarily to that T in the receiving game. That being said, I still think he's going to be a tier one wide receiver as long as he's healthy. And then also you want to look at the quarterback position as well, because once you start getting in rounds 3, 4, and 5, that's when people start getting a little antsy and wanting to add these big names. I'd be really hesitant about adding a guy like Patrick Mahomes and even maybe Joe Burrow as well, just because they don't provide you the rushing upside that guys kind of down the way, including Bo Nix, Brock Purdy, who we saw increased his scramble rate from 3% to 8%,
wow.
Basically the 32nd ranked player to all of a sudden around Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson in terms of his scramble rate. I think you could probably get more value by staying away from those two big MVP level names, even though they obviously do help their team win. And if you're just looking for stats, looking for guys like Kyler Murray, Brock Purdy, or Bo Nix, potentially in the later rounds.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes, and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Two tight ends I wanted to ask you about here, Sam. One of them is coming off an unbelievable, literally record-setting season for rookie tight ends, and that was Brock Bowers this past season. 112 receptions, an NFL rookie record, alongside another NFL rookie record, 1,194 yards. Just unbelievable for the former first-round pick with the Las Vegas Raiders. And he's getting a potential upgrade at quarterback situation with Geno Smith going in there. I know that there's also, you know, the side that you can play, talking about Ashton Jeanty, the top pick that they made this year. He's going to obviously see a lot of, you know, play in the offense. But Brock Bowers, for one, how high would you potentially take him in drafts just because he was so, so good last year? And then the other one is kind of the opposite side of the spectrum, where you hear all this buzz from Falcons training camp. This is finally the year for Kyle Pitts, who, you know, continues to let fantasy managers down year after year, whether that be due to just poor play or due to injury issues. Just want to get your thoughts on both of those players.
Yeah, so the tight end position is a really interesting one this year. Typically, you can kind of wait until the middle rounds to pick up a tight end. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I think there will be runs in the second, third, or fourth round on the top three tight ends. Those three tight ends are Brock Bowers, as you mentioned, who has all the sticky statistics in his camp. You look at a guy like Geno Smith, who last year really propped up DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf's new contract is probably directly in correlation with Geno Smith being one of the best players in completion percentage over expected, meaning that he was completing difficult throws. I expect him to continue doing that to Brock Bowers. That's why Brock Bowers, I would really consider taking as early as the third round. There's going to be some interesting scenarios that people will find themselves in where they won't necessarily draft a wide receiver until the fourth round. That'll be the first time in maybe 5 years that that's actually kind of a safe or at least chasing upside play. You look at George Kittle and Trey McBride. I think those are the other two guys that I really trust. Trey McBride a little bit more than George Kittle just because of George Kittle's injury history, to go in that third, fourth, or fifth round, and really a guy that you would want to target early. I'm really worried about Kyle Pitts. I don't trust the numbers as I see him. It would be a real historical element if he ended up being very good this year. The only item that I will say, my former teammate Darnell Mooney, Raheem Morris, came out and said that his injury kind of situation right now is a little murky, that could elevate Kyle Pitts into the second wide receiver or second pass catcher spot. That being said, we've seen him basically in the first pass catcher spot and not be able to produce. The only item in his camp right now is that tight ends typically have a longer aging curve than almost any position because it's very difficult to both block and pass receive at the next level. This needs to be his breakout year. I don't necessarily see it happening, but if he's utilizing the offense correctly, I think you could probably still feel okay grabbing him in the much later rounds if he ends up falling because of what you just said. He's let people go down year in and year out.
Folks, we're talking to Sam Bruckhaus, Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst and data scientist. Obviously, you have to hit on those early round picks for your fantasy draft, but finding value in that mid to late rounds also crucial for any championship winning team, just like real football. Do you have any, some of those later round prospects that you could see as boom this year in fantasy football?
Yeah, I think when you look at preseason injuries and even preseason suspensions to a certain degree, people typically very highly overvalue those in terms of, you know, not thinking that that player will operate well during the season because he's suspended for the first couple games. And so I think Rashi Rice is a guy who could quality be a wide receiver one in this league, a quality top 10 performer, league winner at the wide receiver position. He's going pretty late due to, you know, rumors about his suspension. But when he was on the field for the Chiefs last year, he was the certified wide receiver one. He had an immense target share, and he was quite efficient, both on short routes and long routes. When you look at the situation that the Chiefs found themselves in at the end of last season, where they were really trusting DeAndre Hopkins, who's no longer in a Chiefs uniform, Travis Kelce getting older despite his podcast numbers going up, as I said, you really think that Rashi Rice can probably be a really good guy if you can just wait 2 or 3 weeks. I think he'll end up being a league winner by the end of the year.
Any running backs in that range as well, Sam, that you're kind of targeting? Because I know you had mentioned taking running back early. Some of these top running backs are elite and they're going to be, you know, top their class for a reason. But, you know, some of those guys, maybe RB2s that could have RB1 upside, or maybe even a little bit further down the board, like an RB3 that could fit in that RB2 role.
It starts getting a little sticky this year with the running backs once you get in the middle, just because it's kind of like what we saw last year with the quarterbacks, where there's a ton of rookies. You're looking at a Marion Hampton, RJ Harvey, Trevion Henderson, but a veteran guy or a second-year guy that I'm really looking at is Braylon Allen with the New York Jets. They brought in a full Detroit Lions crew to the Jets this year. They'll be trotting out offensive coordinator Tanner Engstrom, who has been basically a second coordinator underneath Ben Johnson, the now coach of the Chicago Bears. If you have followed the Lions at all, they have always had two running backs, whether that was DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams, or in recent years, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. David Montgomery has been fantasy viable throughout his time as a Lions tailback. I think that's going to be the case with Breece Hall and Braylon Allen, where it ends up being more of a 1A and 1B scenario. If you can snag Braylon Allen down the stretch of your fantasy draft, especially if you can get him in the later rounds, I think there's decent upside both running the ball and receiving the ball for him, and that's a recipe for success.
And finally, Sam, how are you feeling about some of the black and gold players in fantasy this year? I think there's the big three for me, at least, with Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and Juwan Johnson. What is their outlook?
I think when you look in particular at Olave and Shaheed, that discussion I had about the injury leads to them being what we call wide tail players. And that means there's a lot of upside, given that they're probably going to fall in drafts, particularly Shaheed, who has those long deep balls and can win you a week if he has, you know, 150 yards on four catches and two touchdowns. That's a real difference maker, particularly if you're looking at the weirder best ball formats where you don't necessarily select your lineup and it just pops someone up into the lineup. I think the wide receiver position is a good place to find value for them later on in the draft. But I think Kamara is probably the guy that you can look at the most consistency for. He was the leader in target share amongst amongst running backs last year. I do have a little bit of hesitancy about how Kellen Moore will deploy him. You look at Ezekiel Elliott way back in the day, he had a very high target share as well. Then when Kellen Moore came in as the Cowboys running back, that went down. Saquon Barkley didn't really have a high target share, but I think it would just be a misuse if we don't see Kamara at that level of receiving talent. I think he's really consistent, and I think you can probably feel comfortable picking him at ADP, average draft position, if you get a chance to.
Awesome stuff, Sam. Thanks so much for the time. You can check out more of Sam's stuff and everyone else he works with at sumersports.com. That's S-U-M-E-R sports.com. Thanks a lot, Sam. Always appreciate your breakdowns.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Sam.
Sam Brookhouse, a former Tulane linebacker, now Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst and data scientist.
Yeah, we didn't really get into Tulane much with them, but I think that Green Wave could be in for a big year. And that's not just because I'm a fan of Coach John Summerall. I think that, you know, everything that we've been hearing from Tulane's fall camp has been super positive. They may make a push for that group of five spot in the 12-team college football playoff this year.
That would definitely be something, Charlie.